I appreciate our pastor, don't you? I am so thankful I have a pastor I can look up to and gladly follow. It's not always been that way. But I'm glad we have a true man of God. And buddy, he was on fire this morning. He was on fire Wednesday. And if you didn't get saved, I don't know what's wrong with you. Good night. If you're still lost, you need to get saved right now. I mean, wow. He made it so clear and so plain. Thank you, Pastor, for your wonderful example. The Bible says, give honor unto whom honor is due. And our pastor deserves much honor because of him. Amen. If you'll turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, I'd appreciate that, please. We'll start here. I do thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach his word. The highest calling I think there is. I'm just prejudiced about it, but I thank the Lord that he allows me to expound on his word, to preach his word, just to be used, just to know that he's my Father. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your place, please say amen. Amen. The Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you'll go down to verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Father, I come to you again tonight. Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, as I say always, I'm a worm. I'm a useless person without you. Father, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you allowed your Son to pay my price of sin on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for being long-suffering and merciful to me. Lord, tonight as we get into your word, Lord, I need you to lead me. I pray, Father, that you would guide my thoughts. Lord, the things that you've already placed on my heart, Lord, help me to say those things that would glorify you and glorify your Son. Lord, I want to lift up the Lord Jesus tonight. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, thank you for the faithful that are here tonight. Father, we've come to meet with you because you're the only one we need. Holy Spirit, please move in our midst tonight. I invite you to have your will and way. We need you tonight. Lord, we're in dark times. Father, we're in uncertain times. But Lord, we need you. I'm glad that you're steady. I'm glad that you change not. Father, would you please use me as your messenger tonight? I ask these things in Christ's precious holy name. Amen. Amen. Sister Wolf, I want you to know I've been praying for you. I hope things go well. I hope you give it to them. In Jesus' name. Amen. What Pastor said, I think now is the time that we stand up, that we wake up. If we don't, I mean, it's almost too late anyways, but let's just be bold. Let's speak up for Christ. He is worthy. I believe C.T. Studd said, if Christ be God and died for me, then there's nothing I can't do for him. And I praise the Lord for that, because that's exactly how I feel. If you'll turn with me now to the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 28, I thank the Lord for how he reveals more and more of his word as we continue reading his word. It's always a blessing to see things and also to be able to relate to what is written in God's word. I'm so thankful for the lessons that we can learn from him, from others in the Bible. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, of course, we know that is the chapter of faith, the heroes of the faith. And the man that I'm going to talk about tonight, I only see one of the verses pertaining to him in Hebrews chapter 11. And that man is Jacob. Now, we know Jacob was the trickster, the deceiver. And because of his deceit, because of the things that he and his mother had planned together and schemed together, he quote-unquote, stole the blessing from Esau, from his father. And God blessed him because of his trickery. Or excuse me, not God, but Isaac blessed Jacob because of his trickery. Even though I think he really knew. I think he already knew that was really Jacob there. Of course, with the skin, the coats of fur and things of that nature. And the way that his mother prepared the venison for him. He allowed this trickery to go forth. And of course, when Esau came in, he was mad. But Esau had already sold his birthright.
And we need to keep that in mind. Why would you want to sell your birthright? That is something wonderful given to us. And but anyways, these things happened, but trouble began to brew because Esau was mad, and rightly so, and was ready to kill his brother. And Rachel, seeing that, didn't want her son Jacob, who she preferred over Esau, to be harmed or be killed. And so she recommends that he go into the land of her brother, where Laban lives, and find a wife there. And as we pick up the story here in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob is traveling. We don't know how big of an entourage he had with him, how big of a crowd there was traveling with him, but I know this, he is weary. More than likely, his life is full of stress right now, knowing that his brother wants to kill him. And as he's traveling along, God decides to show up. And God is going to try to do something in Jacob's life. Are you with me in Genesis chapter 28? Let's begin reading in verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep." Can you imagine finding comfort on a stone as a pillow? That just doesn't sound comfortable, does it? But he was weary and he was ready for rest. And he chose these stones to be his pillows. And while he was sleeping, verse 12, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, does that sound familiar to the covenant that God made with Abraham? The covenant that God made with Isaac, his father? God is the promise giver and the covenant keeper. God knows that we cannot. And I'm glad that he realizes that. And that all of his promises do not rest on what I can do or how I behave, but they rest on him and his word. Thank the Lord for that. Because if it was left up to me, I'd be in hell right now. If the covenant depended on my faithfulness, I'd have no hope. But the promise that God makes to us and the promise that he made here to Jacob is an everlasting promise. Because he is God, he changes not. And I'm thankful for that. And he tells him that these nations will be blessed through his seed, through thy seed. Verse 15, "And behold, I am with thee." Does that remind you of a verse in Hebrews 13, verse 5? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Aren't you glad about God? Amen. That is always at our side. We may not always see him because of our unwillingness to live for him the way we should, but he's always there. Amen. And he's always willing to hear us say, "I was wrong. Please forgive me." I'm thankful for that. Boy, what a wonderful, awesome God we serve. But he said, "I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." What a wonderful promise given by God in this dream to Jacob. And it had such an impact on Jacob's life. And we're getting ready to read about that. But I want you to think about this. How many of you believe in God? Amen. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Let's be bold tonight. Do you realize the devils believe in God and tremble? Amen. So it's not just enough to believe that God exists. I believe Jacob believed that God exists because his father served God. His grandfather served God. And so no doubt in his life, Jacob knew that God existed, but God is now going to become very real to Jacob. And I hope that God is truly real in your life. Not that he's fake. He's not fake. But so many times I hear people say, "I believe God. I believe God exists." But they don't live as though God exists. And sadly, that's how many Christians appear today.
We see a lot of Christians today who are catering and cowering to the world's demands. We do not answer to this world.
No.
We answer to the Lord God Almighty. We answer to Jehovah. He is the one that we should worry about whether we are pleasing or not. Not mankind. Not mankind. And it's easy to say. I realize situations come up that seem difficult, but God is able. God is able. God is faithful. And I praise the Lord for that. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Think about that. You ever been in your life going through life steps, believing in God, but you didn't realize just how real God was until a certain point in your life where God is tapping on your heart? He's working in your life, and He becomes more real to you than He's ever been before. Thank God for that. I'm glad that God reveals Himself to us and draws ourselves to Him for salvation, but then He begins revealing Himself to us so that even though we cannot see Him with this physical eye, we follow Him with a spiritual eye of belief and faith in what He has promised us, what He has told us through His Word.
Amen.
And here Jacob, when he awoke, he knew that he had been in the presence of God. And what a change it's about to make in his life. Verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Why? Remember, the thought is, the teaching was, you see God, you're going to die. God will smite you dead. Let's make sure that we read the Bible and take everything into context. Did God reveal himself to Moses? Did he not hide him in the cleft? Think about it. And as we look at the things that are taking place, I think of Samson's parents. When the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, the husband said, we're going to die. We just saw God. But God didn't kill him. God wants us to see him as he is. God wants us to know him. And I'm thankful for that. But we've got to want to know him. It does us no good to preach the Bible, to teach the Bible to those who don't want to learn. And you know what? We can't force you to want to learn.
Amen.
It's got to be something that comes from you, that God has placed in your heart, that you want to study His Word, that you want to know Him, and to realize what His will is for your life. And the only place you're going to find that is in His Word, through much prayer, through seeking God's face and allowing God to work in your life. But Jacob was afraid because now he realized, oh, I've seen God, and now he may kill me. But then he goes on to say, this is none other but the house of God. I'm glad we're in the house of God tonight. I'm glad we have set aside this building to meet with our Heavenly Father, to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our midst. I'm glad that the Lord has brought me to a place in my life where I no longer think, well, we need to go to church just because we need to be in church, but rather, God, how will you speak to me in church tonight? God, I need to hear from you in church. Oh, Lord, it's Wednesday. Please, Father, speak to my heart. I need some encouragement to get through the rest of the week. Father, please, when I come to your house, I want you, Lord, to give me exactly what I need. And you know what? Every time I come expecting that, guess what I get? I get exactly what I expected. God speaks to me. God gives me what I need. God gets me through the week. He helps me. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is.
Amen.
You have not because you ask not. And so many times I see people coming to church on a routine. I see people coming to the house of God just because it's expected of them. And they leave out just as miserable as they came in. When we could leave out victorious. When we could leave out having received help from the Lord. Jacob, he was weary. He fell asleep. God allowed him to have this dream about him and seeing God and God giving him these promises. And he wakes up afraid and scared, but yet he realizes, I'm in the house of God. And that ought to have a great impact on our life. That ought to bring about some changes in our life to realize we are in the presence of the Holy One.
Amen.
We are in the presence of God Almighty, and it ought to make an impact on our life. The problem is, a lot of times we have lost our fear of God, that reverential fear of God.
And we wonder why God's not doing things that we would like for Him to do or what we expect for Him to do
according to His Word, not just according to our wants, but what God has promised. You know, God has promised us so much through His Word. But He's not going to just give it to us as we continue to not reverence Him.
See, He's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And He's not just going to allow our lives to continue on in a wayward manner and just continue to bless and bless and bless and bless.
As I was teaching the teens this morning, God will chastise His children.
But if God is not chastising you, that's a greater warning than anything else. If you're continuing to do the things you do that are not pleasing to the Lord, you continue to rebel against His Word, you continue not obeying Him, if He does not deal with you, if your conscience that the Holy Spirit is working on, if it doesn't bother you, you better check your birth certificate. I'm not talking about the first one. I'm talking about the second one.
That spiritual birth certificate where you were born again. Because God only chastises His children. He will not chastise those that do not belong to Him. We need to make sure that we've been born again. We need to understand that we are in the presence of the Almighty. We are in the house of God. How many of you have had those guests that come to your house and they just trash your house? They have no respect for your things.
You ever had those kind of guests come over and you're so thankful when they say bye? Hallelujah. We're in the house of God. Should we not treat this place in a reverential manner towards our Lord and Savior, towards our Heavenly Father?
You know, a lot of places, they'll treat it as a bar. Some are a bar.
They'll treat it as a rock and roll concert. Don't tell me that you're respecting the holiness of God by doing these things. Many people want to tell you, it's okay, God doesn't really care how we worship Him. I beg to differ. God does care.
And I want God to do something in our church. I want God to do something in me because I need it. I don't ever want God to just let me go my own way, just to turn me over to my own thoughts and my own understanding. I don't want that. I want God to continually work in my life. And as we see this, he said, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar.
He made that stone that he was resting his head upon a pillar, a memorial, to remind him, this is where God dealt with me. This is where God spoke to me. Do you know what we need to do, child of God? You've been saved. Do you remember where you were at when you were saved? Do you remember when you got saved? And I'm not asking for the actual hour, second, or even the date, but I know where I was at. I can take you to it today. I remember it as though it was yesterday. And I would really hate it if they ever tore down that church building in Rota, Spain, where this old rotten sinner of a sailor got saved at. I would hate for them to tear that down. But listen, my salvation is not in that building. My salvation is in the one who met in that building with me and allowed me to see that I needed to be born again. Not go through that religious stuff that I was going through. Not trying to make sure that I was being a good boy, because it wasn't going to happen. But He let me see I was on my way to hell. And I specifically remember Him speaking to me through the Holy Spirit, you're going to die and go to hell unless you get saved. Boy, I thank God for working in my life. I thank Him for allowing me to realize there's something special about that place that I got saved in. There's something special about this place. When God's here. Did you hear what I said? Hey, when the church is not here, God's not here. Hello?
Amen.
Think about that. When we're not here, He's not here. But when we're here together, He's in our midst.
And He's waiting on you and I to openly invite Him to work in our lives and to do something.
He set up that pillar. He set up a memorial. I met with God in this place. Then He goes on to say, in verse 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel, house of God. But the name of the city was called Luz. Does anybody know what Luz is in Spanish?
Luz. It's light.
Is God not
the light of the world? Is God not the one who lights up our life, lights us up in the truth? We're to reflect that light. Luth, light. Think about that. And as he is doing this, he called it the house of God. The city was called light or loves. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if... Now look at that. If you're in a habit of circling things, you might want to circle that word if. Jacob knew he had met with God, but he wasn't fully convinced yet all about God. Now, how many of you realize that God is who he is? But how many of you are still learning who God is? If you quit learning who God is, I'm worried about you. If you've got it all figured out, please write a book. But be careful. Because God told us that we'll be perfect when we're in his presence. We'll be complete when we're in heaven with him. Not until. The Apostle Paul, he said, I've not yet arrived. And he knew a lot about God. He walked with God. He was a great man of God. But he never came to the place where he knew everything he needed to about God. But he always was learning. He was always seeking God's face. And if you want to grow, that's what you need to do. And he vowed a vow. If God will be with me, did God already promise he would be with him? Yes, but he needed a little bit more persuasion. And will keep me in this way that I go. And will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. Is God taking care of your needs, child of God? Is he feeding you? Is he clothing you? You realize there's people around this world that can't say that? But you and I can. We're blessed. We are so blessed. So that I come again to my father's house in peace. Now keep that in mind. Remember the situation between him and Esau. Then shall the Lord be my God. You know who that reminds me of? That reminds me of Thomas in the New Testament. That reminds me of Thomas who said, until I see his hands, until I see his side, I'm not going to believe. And when Jesus confronted him personally, reach hither thy hand, touch my scar, put your hand in my side. What did Thomas declare unto Jesus? My God. My God. Think about that. He came to know him as God. But here, Jacob saying, if God will do these things, then he will be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. What's another word for that? The tithe. Now, wait a minute. Has the law been given yet? Nope. And my message isn't on tithing, so you can breathe a sigh of relief. But before the law was given, tithing was in practice. Giving to God a tenth of what he has given us. And we need to understand that. So here he is. He set out on his journey. God's made him promises. Now he's come to the point he says, well, if God will do these things that he's promised me, you know why he was saying if God will do these things? Because he wasn't quite firm yet on knowing God the way God wanted him to know him. But he begins his journey. Now he's gone to the land of his brother or his uncle, Laban. And of course, he sees Rachel, and buddy, Jacob got some muscles that day when he first saw Rachel, and he ripped off the mouth of the well there where they could get water to feed the sheep. And of course, he was all excited, and he goes and meets Laban, and he makes a contract. And by the way, dads, moms, I would suggest you do this with your sons or daughters, especially your sons or the guy that's wanting to marry your daughter. You know Jacob worked for Rachel for 7 years, or for Laban for 7 years to be able to marry Rachel? That's when you find out they're serious or not. That's free, by the way. But what happened? The trickster got tricked. Yes or no? The trickster got tricked. Isn't it amazing how God can teach us things through things that we're guilty of? How God can use actions in our lives through our children to show us, you need to work on this. This is not pleasing in my life. I remember some words that my oldest son said one day because he heard Daddy say them. And God spoke to me and said, see, you want to keep talking that way? Your son's going to talk that way. And God got a hold of my heart. And thank the Lord we changed that. And it's all about that. It's all about the Lord working in our life and changing us, because we cannot change ourselves. How many of you have tried to change yourself? Didn't last, did it? Not at all. But when God changes us, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story.
And so as he was there on his wedding night, all excited, and by the way, he couldn't tell that it wasn't Rachel.
He wakes up in the morning, and lo and behold, that's not Rachel. That's Leah. He's been tricked.
Imagine that. The trickster got tricked. But then,
because he loved Rachel so much, Laban says, look, you need to work another 7 years. He gladly did it. Guys, how serious are you about that person in your life?
Are you willing to work 7, maybe 14 years to be able to earn the right to have that person as your spouse? Boy, we've lost a lot of teaching when it comes to those things. Today, relationships aren't what they ought to be. Dating, I don't even like dating, but that's not for me to preach on tonight. Listen, God's got a person for you. Wait on the Lord. The first two people that God created, do you know that Adam had to wait on God to bring the woman to him?
Yep.
That's good advice to follow. Great advice to follow. Because you go searching for that one on your own, you're probably going to make the wrong decision. Let God bring that person into your life. You talk about regrets, don't do it God's way. You talk about blessings and peace, let God do it His way. You're either a slow learner or you're a fast learner, but I hope that'll help you tonight. But he worked another 7 years. It was no problem. And then he makes a contract with Laban to work for flocks, to be able to have herds and things of that nature. And he works another 7 years. But during that time, good old Uncle Laban is the trickster himself, just like Jacob used to be. He changed his wages, not giving him raises, but he changed his wages 10 times. And during the course of this, God says, now it's time for you to return home, Jacob. It's time for you to go back to the land of your father, which I promised that I would bring you back.
And so Jacob approaches his wives, and he shares with them how that God said it's time for him to go back. And you know what? His wives were all with him. They said, well, if God told you to do that, let's do it. Hey, you want your marriage to be happy? When God tells you to do something,
both the husband and the wife need to be in agreement about it.
Amen.
God will bless that. How can two walk together except
they be agreed? And here, they made the right decision. God told you to go back to the land of your father. You better go back to the land of your father. Praise the Lord for that.
And we find it in chapter 31, verses 3 and 13, that God told him to go back. He shared that with them. A valuable lesson was learned. If you look at chapter 31, verse 5.
See, Jacob, the trickster, who was now being tricked, who is now being deceived, he learned some things during this time.
And you know what, brothers and sisters? We need to allow God to teach us things in our life. And we need to allow God to reveal to us just all that He does in our life. How many of you realize God does a whole lot in our life that we do not deserve? In chapter 31, verse 5, Jacob was speaking to Rachel and Leah and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me. Do you see that? He's testifying to his wives how that God had been with him and protected him. Look at verse 42. When you get there, say amen, please. Laban had confronted Jacob. Laban accused Jacob of stealing everything that he had, even though they had made an agreement. Boy, Laban was something else, wasn't he? But Jacob probably got to see Jacob in Laban. Jacob probably got a good dose of what he was like by seeing his uncle do the things that he did. And now, Laban is infuriated. And Jacob is arguing with him. And in verse 42, he says, except the God of my father the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou had sent me away now, how? Empty. Do you know it didn't matter to Laban if he had robbed Jacob of everything? By the way, was he just robbing Jacob? No, he was robbing his daughters as well. He was robbing his grandchildren as well. Be careful. We don't realize the impact of things that we do. We may think we're just deceiving or robbing one person, but in actuality, we're affecting a whole lot of people. And here, Laban was being deceitful, but Jacob brought it up. Had God not been with me, you would have sent me away empty. He goes on to say, God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesterday night. Remember, the Lord came to Laban before he came to Jacob. He says, you better be careful how you deal with Jacob. And isn't it amazing how God intervenes for us? Amen. Isn't it wonderful that God works on our behalf? Did God say to Jacob, listen, I'm going to go talk to Laban tonight? He didn't tell him that. But God made sure before anything took place, he warned Laban. And he made a stern warning so much that it had an effect on Laban. Now, remember, Rachel had stolen away Laban's gods.
Yeah.
And lied about where they were at. And lied about the situation. And those false idols were stolen. And Laban was correct in accusing that they had been stolen. And for whatever reason, the truth wasn't figured out. But I'm glad that I don't have an idol that is my God. I'm glad I don't have some statue that I bow down to. That I don't have some piece of wood that was carved by man's hand and the other part of it burned in the fire. I'm glad I have a living, breathing God. An eternal God. Who loves me, who takes care of me, who fights on my behalf. Many times I don't even know when he's fighting on my behalf. Many times God's doing things that we can't even see. But he protects us. He is our shield. Amen. He is our protector. He is our provider. I think about Abraham when he went to offer up Isaac on the mount. He had the knife already drawn. He was about to slay him. And God stopped him. And all of a sudden you hear, meh. The ram caught in the thicket. God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's an awesome verse in the Bible. Genesis 22:8. What a wonderful thing. But here, during this time, that Jacob the trickster had been working for his wife, working more for his wife, and working for his flocks to be able to take care of his family, God was working in him. God was teaching him things. God blessed him to have the flocks that he had, by the way. Now, Jacob was being deceitful in what he was doing. Remember, he stripped the rods and he would put them in the watering troughs, and that would somehow affect how the calves would come out and the way that they would be presented. And Jacob even changed that, or Laban changed that requirement on him as many times. But God saw fit to give him what he needed. Does God see fit to give you what you need? Does God take care of you, child of God? Can anyone here say, God's failed me? I can't. God has never failed me. He has always provided for me in ways I can't even explain. So Jacob is now on his way home. But wait a minute. Jacob's remembering something. I'm going back home, but Esau's there. Oh boy. Esau. I bet he still wants to kill me. How many of us have really hurt ourselves by allowing our thoughts to control our actions and making up scenarios in our head that aren't really true? Well, that person probably doesn't like me. Well, that person is probably out to get me. Listen, don't fall for that. That's a trick of Satan. Now, Esau had been mad at Jacob. But God had been dealing with Esau. Now, we understand that there was still that division. And the Bible says that God hated Esau. I want you to be careful about it. It just means he loved him less. God cared about Esau, but his chosen was Jacob. The one that he had his plan to be fulfilled through was Jacob. And so they're all heading back, this big multitude of flocks, this big multitude of family, children, wives.
handmaids that were also mothers to his children. They're all traveling, and here the schemer, Jacob, who in his old ways, he said, all right, I'm going to plan this out. I'm going to send these guys first because they're my least favorite. And then I'm going to send this group. And then I'm going to send Leah. And then finally I'll send Rachel. Now, does that sound like a man that's worried about the safety of his family? Or a man that's worried about himself? And I can't explain these things. I don't understand what was taking place, but we know this. But somehow, Jacob is now again alone. And in chapter 32, if you'll turn there with me, let's just read what takes place. Genesis chapter 32. When you get there, please say amen. Now, he was by himself, and in verse 1, he sees the angels of God. I think God was trying to remind him, listen, I told you I was going to protect you. I told you that I was going to be with you. Remember the angels that he saw coming up and down the ladder? The same angels, the angels of God? Well, now he sees them again in chapter 32, verse 1. In verses 9 through 12, we see that Jacob was driven to pray because he was afraid and he was distressed. Boy, what a great response to being afraid and being distressed. Do you realize prayer is the best answer for any situation that we face?
Amen.
Prayer is the number one response we ought to have in any given situation. I wish I would remember that all the time. Don't you?
Right.
So many times I'm trying to figure things out on my own. I'm trying to say, well, okay, well, this happens, I'll do this, I'll do that. No. Pray. And then while you're praying, trust God. Amen? And realize God has it all under control.
Amen.
And it may not be what we want or expect, but I believe we know God enough and seen what He can do enough to know that we can trust Him to take care of it. If you've walked with the Lord, you've lived for the Lord, and you've seen what God can do, you know exactly what I'm talking about. God takes care of things. God takes care of us. Praise His holy name. Look at verse 24, if you will, please. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, how many of you have ever gotten hurt wrestling around or fighting with someone? The normal response is we want to quit and get out of it. Amen? I don't like pain. What about you? And can you imagine? God took that hollow of his thigh there, and he put it out of joint. That's painful. But Jacob didn't let go. Jacob held on for dear life, if you will. He was wrestling with him. And as we look at what's taking place, he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the God did not prevail against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, God said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Remember the inopportune widow that came to the judge? That returned to the judge? That came back to the judge? That the judge finally said, I've got to just let her have what she wants or she is going to drive me crazy. This is the kind of wrestling match Jacob had with God. He was not going to let go of him. Jacob wanted his blessing upon his life. But he didn't realize yet who he was wrestling with. But he wanted to be blessed by this one that he was wrestling with. And as they continue on, he says, let me go. I'm not going to let you go. Hey, when's the last time we truly got in prayer with God? And we didn't quit until God gave us an answer. Have you done that yet? Have you prayed so fervently that you said, God, I'm not going to stop praying until you give me an answer. I don't know what the answer may be, but God, I've got to have an answer. We really need to work on our prayer lives, don't we? We really need to get into a place where we're not going to let go of God until He blesses us.
Amen.
Through an answer that we need.
And God was working on this. God was doing this. And then Jacob said unto him, God said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob."
Did God know his name?
Does God remind us who we are sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
How about this? Adam, where art thou? God knew where Adam was at.
"What hast thou done?" God knew what he did. Amen. "What's your name?"
Jacob. What does Jacob mean?
Trickster. Deceiver. "What's your name? I want to remind you who you are. I want to remind you what you were." Now, God speaks in verse 28, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed."
Do you have power with God tonight? You can through prayer. You can. If you'll just hold on to God and not let go, you can have power with God. Don't you want God's power to be working in your life? Or do you want your power to work? My power fails. How many of you have ever heard people try to insult the Christians by saying, "Oh, you just use God as a crutch"? Hello? You ever heard that? Never been accused of that?
Oh, yeah.
Guilty! I need God to support all of me. More than just a crutch. I've got to rely completely upon Him.
Because I have no strength in myself. I have no worth in myself.
Only God is the worth that you see in me. The good things that you see, it's only because of Him. But as we look at these things that are taking place, God changed His name.
Amen.
You're no longer that trickster. You're no longer that deceiver. Now, you are a prince. You've got power with God and with men. Now, verse 29, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." Oh. "And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there." Verse 30, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen" who? Who did he see? He saw God. Did he see God before? He saw him before in a dream. Now he's seeing him face to face.
Amen.
Do you see the difference? Well, I believe in God, but have you seen him face to face?
Yeah, amen.
Well, I know he exists, but have you seen him face to face? Well, I know God's been good to me. I know he's blessed me, but have you seen him face to face? See, he couldn't see him when he was around his family. He couldn't see him like he needed to when the multitudes were around him. But when he got alone, when he had nowhere else to turn to, God appears unto him. He wrestles with God, and God meets with him face to face. Jacob wouldn't let go of him. Jacob wanted a blessing from him. We've got to get to the point, child of God, that we just hold on to God and we don't let go. Thank God he never lets go of us. But there's times that we seem to release him. And there's times that we seem to distance ourselves from him, but he's never left us nor forsook us. And God wants to meet with us face to face. God wants to bless us. How many of you believe that? I told the Sunday school class this morning, listen, when you do wrong, God's not out to send down lightning bolts. He's not out there to send down fire from heaven to burn you up. He's there to warn you. He's there to help you because he loves you. And sometimes it's painful. You think that the hollow of Jacob's thigh felt good after God knocked it out of joint? Not at all. But what an impact it had on his life. Now, God didn't heal that joint, did he? He didn't heal the hollow of his thigh. In fact, he left him in that situation. Do you know what happened then? The next day when he's going to stand before Esau, Esau sees his brother hobbling, a crippled brother coming towards him. I believe that created compassion in Esau's heart towards his brother. You know, there's things that happen to us that we do not understand. Yes or no? And most time we complain about it. Woe is me. Poor me. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. God, why'd you allow this to happen? Well, what if he hadn't done what he had done to Jacob? Esau may very well have killed him.
Esau very well may have said, you know what, I still hate him for what he did. He deserves to die. Esau came with how many men? 400 men. He had an army that he could have wiped them out with. But God did something to Jacob, which allowed Esau to have compassion on him.
Amen.
Think about it. Can God work in the hearts of our enemy to keep them from carrying out
the will of Satan?
Absolutely. Does Satan have a will? Sure he does. But God's will outpowers Satan's will. Amen? Boy, Satan is a formidable foe, is he not?
He's a defeated foe.
I didn't defeat him. I can't. God has. God has. Past tense. It's done. But we still got some skirmishes we need to get through until we hear the trumpet.
Until we hear God say, come up hither. I'm looking forward to that. What about you? God blessed him. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Aren't you glad it's God that keeps us saved?
Amen.
Aren't you glad it's not left up to us? I wonder if Jacob made mistakes after this. If he's anything like me, he did. Amen? But it was God keeping him, not himself. Praise the Lord. And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank.
Remember what Jacob did at the very first with those stones? Anybody remember? What do you use them for?
A pillow.
A pillow. What do we use a pillow for? Do we use a pillow all day? Do we rest our head on our pillow? I hope you don't. You're pretty lazy if you do. But, you know, we rest at night on that pillow so we can get rest, but it's a temporary thing. But Jacob took those same stones after he met God, after he saw God, and he set them up as a pillar. Now, what's another function of a pillar? It was used as a memorial. But do not pillars hold up a great amount of weight? Think about buildings. Think about the awning out here, the covering. We pull the cars through. Well, what's holding up the building on the other side? Those pillars. Their strength. It's no longer resting on something temporarily, but totally relying on someone to carry our weight. Totally trusting in God to do what God said he would do. Remember, Jacob said in chapter 28, if God do these things, God did them. Now Jacob sees God face to face. Now Jacob's faith is established. He knows who God is. He knows what God has done.
God did a wonderful work in the life of Jacob. We don't need to call him Jacob anymore.
No.
Call him Israel. He's a prince with God. Amen? Would you turn with me real quick? I promise I'll end with this. Revelation chapter 1. Have you ever had a lapse of faith, child of God?
Woe is me. You ever doubted God, child of God? Hello?
Amen.
Thank you. Somebody's being honest.
I've had lapses of faith. I've questioned God. I've doubted God. But He's never failed me. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Because I'm flesh. Amen? But one thing God did for me, He saved me. I'm His. He can't get rid of me. Hallelujah. He stuck with me. Praise the Lord. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Child of God, I want you to pay attention to this. And hath made us kings. Not princes. Kings. And priests. Now, I really like this part. Unto God. Does it stop there? And His Father. Think about that. God and His Father. These people out there that deny that Jesus Christ is God, what do they do with this verse? Well, they use a perverted version for one. But they're denying what the Scriptures teach us. They're denying the truth that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, is God. God with us. But more than that, child of God, we're joint heirs with Christ, are we not? Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But God has made you and I kings and priests.
unto God and his Father. You have a wonderful job of representing Christ. It requires faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Where are you at, child of God? Are you here tonight and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you need to be saved tonight? I want to invite you to call upon Christ to save you right now. He'll do it. Are you here, child of God, and you've been waning in your faith? You've been doubtful about things? You've kind of doubted God? Listen, we've all done it, but listen, it's wrong. Don't doubt God. Trust God. Amen. When you can't trace what he's doing, trust that he is. A lot of times we think God has forsaken us. He's never forsaken us. He promised never to do so. But because of our lack of faith, we lose sight of him. Let's put our hearts and our minds back firmly focused on our Heavenly Father tonight. Keep your eyes upon the Lord tonight. If you've been having some lapses of faith, ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to help you to get back in that prayer closet. Ask God to give you the strength to not let go of him until he blesses you. He's the only one that can. With every head bowed and eye closed, has God spoke to you tonight? I know when I was reading through this, I was rejoicing and crying at the same time. Because I remember the wonderful things that God has done in my life, that he's doing in my life. He's still doing it. Praise his holy name. But there's times that I went into valleys and I started to question him. I started to doubt. Is he the same God that is the God in the good times? We sing that song, don't we? He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. I praise his holy name. Do you need to spend some time with the Lord tonight? Do you need to ask God to help you to regain that faith, that trust that you had in him? Have you met with him face to face? I want to encourage you to do so. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I pray that you would work in this invitation as only you can. Lord, we need you. Father, I need you. Lord, increase our faith. I ask this in Christ's name for his honor and glory. Amen.